whistly today.
Your nose is very whistly?
Yeah.
What, like a sleeping old man in a cartoon?
I mean, you could hear it. Like, it. That's just from me breathing, bud.
Oh, my God. Old Cassie Whistle Snoot, as they call her.
Hey. One person did call me out on the fact that they could hear me breathing in the podcast, and I've never forgotten that. Fried green tomatoes at the Whistle Snoot Cafe. I'm done.
And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I was going to keep the bit going a little bit longer and just keep on explaining why Whistle Stop was funny. But instead, I thought, no, I'll save it for fodder for right here, right now. And now you're caught up. Now you have to make that bit.
My hands are tied. I can't do anything.
I have tied your hands, buddy. You have no choice.
Well, speaking of hands, today we're going to watch an animated special.
You know, the thing that is so synonymous with animation, hands.
Yeah, you animate.
You use your hands to animate.
You use your hands to animate. Animators don't like drawing hands. There's all kinds of things up involved with the hands.
Sure.
And that's why I'm smart and correct. And today we're going to watch the 40th anniversary. Today we're going to watch the 40th anniversary special, Scream of the Shulka.
Speaking of hands, let's talk about screams.
Speaking of hands, Cassie's giving me the middle finger right now.
Not actually, but with my mind.
With her mind hands.
Yep.
Today we're watching the 40th anniversary special, Scream of the Shulka, featuring an alternative Ninth Doctor. Instead of Christopher Eccleston, this was played by Richard E. Grant.
Interesting.
Who you just recently saw in the last modern episode. We saw he was the Great Intelligence. He was Richard Simeon. He was the guy in the hat with all the faceless friends. Mm-hmm. That's Richard E. Grant. And he got a chance to play the Ninth Doctor. I think he has played more characters in Doctor Who than any other actor.
Yeah.
Because he played a version of the Doctor in Curse of Fatal Death. He played a version of the Doctor in this. Not the same version, different versions. And then he also plays Dr. Simeon, and he played the Great Intelligence. So he has a quite a robust experience with Doctor Who. And we're gonna,
what a treat.
Yeah, and we're going to go back to see him in a 2003 Flash animated series of webcasts called Scream of the Shulka. They are six 15-ish minute episodes. Some of them are a little bit shorter. Some of them are a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
In total, I think this amounts to about 100 to 110 minutes total.
Okay.
So it's a little long, but not we're not wandering around a villa in Spain for 3 hours.
Don't remind me. And this is something that you had to track down, if I'm correct.
Yes, because so the website that hosts these webcasts are still up. But Flash isn't a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to track it down. I didn't learn until very recently that there is actually a home disc DVD release of this.
Okay.
But it's out of print, and so it would be difficult for me to track down and find. So I found it on in a treasure chest in a cove in the Caribbean.
Whoa.
I unearthed it myself. I found an X on a map, and I dug it up, and I found it. And
amazing
so,
that it was still able to play after being exposed to the elements for so long. Wowie.
Well, the disc is printed on pure gold, so.
Gotcha. Indestructible.
The D in DVD stands for doubloon.
Yeah, but like gold is like gold is the pussy of metals. Like it's not actually good. Now, if it was printed on diamond, like, whoa. Diamond truly is There are stronger gems. We don't, not autistic, there are signs. There are stronger gems than diamond, but mm-hmm. we do not need to start going into that, or else this will become a podcast about stones and minerals. And I don't think anybody wants that from a Doctor Who podcast.
Well, Cassie,
they're not those kinds of nerds.
In a strange roundabout way, set yourself up for the Cassie Profassi a little bit today.
I'm like very good at that.
You had no way of knowing this, because this first question is multiple choice. And this first one is, the Shulka, in the title Scream of the Shulka, are an alien race made of what inanimate substance?
Are you for real?
Is it A, sand, uh-huh. B, lava, or C, diamonds?
Are you diamonds? I have to.
Yeah. I mean, you teed it up. So.
I set myself up for it. Could you imagine if I had that kind of prophetic vision and then I say something dumb like
true
sand?
True Cassie Brafassi.
Although sand can make, that's carbon. Well, sand
becomes glass.
Glass. Yes. Glass.
Glass.
Not autistic, but Apollo, our favorite thing to quote.
I think lava with enough time and lava makes coal and coal becomes diamonds.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have time to go into it. Yep. You got it. Diamonds. I'm going to, because I'm also thinking like what would be more interesting. Mm-hmm. And frankly, every substance you've chosen is interesting. I'm just going to stand by. If it isn't diamond, I will say, yeah, that makes sense. If it is and I go against it, I'm going to be so mad because I said diamond already.
That's a fair point.
I have to listen to my heart, be true to my heart, like that song at the end of the Mulan movie.
Oh yeah,
true to your heart. That was my least favorite era of like post credit song. Every time it came on, I would just
more like Stevie Blunder, am I right?
Just me at the end of any Disney VHS, like in the early aughts.
See, I liked True to Your Heart mainly because it was one of the few that wasn't just a slow ballad version of a song we heard in the movie.
Yeah, but it also, we watched a movie about China.
Fair. Although Eddie Murphy as a dragon is a little.
Eddie Murphy was also a donkey and then he was a donkey dragon. So like in a weird kind of way, you know.
That's fair, I suppose. Anyway,
considering everything else about that movie, Eddie Murphy is the least of our of our qualms with it. Diamonds.
Anyway, let's
Neil Diamonds.
All right. So
speaking
of
which,
Cassie predicts that the Shulka are made of diamonds.
Sure.
And for the second part of the prophecy, I feel like you might have not fun with this one, but
oh my god, just say it.
In this episode, a future actor that portrays the Doctor has an uncredited voice role in it. Can you guess which actor that is?
Can you repeat the question?
So in this story, an actor that will play the Doctor in the future.
Okay, an actor who will absolutely play the Doctor in the
yes,
future.
Yes, and by the future, I mean the future from this story. So from 9 on.
Okay.
So you got Eccleston, Tennant, Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi, Jodie Whittaker, and Chudigawa.
Okay.
One of them has an uncredited voice role in this story. Can you guess which one of them it is?
Tennant.
You think it's Tennant?
Yeah. Of everybody, like he and Capaldi have the most interesting voices.
Mm-hmm. They're both Scottish.
They're both Scottish. Well,
they're both Scottish mega Doctor Who fans.
Like that's the thing is I'm thinking like who of the people could you just feature their voice and mm-hmm. have it be like mm-hmm. Cool.
David Tennant going, "Hello, Father."
Yeah. What year was this?
This is 2003.
How old would have Tennant been then?
In his 20s, I think.
Okay. Yeah, we'll say Tennant.
Okay. All right, David Tennant. So Cassie guesses the Shulka are made of diamonds, and there is a cameo appearance from future Doctor actor David Tennant. And we will find out together as we watch the 2003 series of animated flash specials, Scream of the Shulka.
You can't find anywhere else, so you have to take our word for it if they're really good bad.
You definitely can't use the same map that I used to find the treasure chest in the Caribbean Cove.
Mm-mm, because I ate it.
Delicious.
Yum, 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 yum.
Gave me heartburn.
there has to be a better heartburn. I'm eating paper.
It'll defeat all the rocks I ate earlier.
There we go. You got there.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is... Okay. Before I keep going, I should warn you that if you are listening with headphones, this might be loud. So I'll give you a second to turn your volume down. Because today's episode is brought to you by the Scream Queen.
Let them eat cake! We are not amused! Keep calm and carry on!
That was, of course, the classic Scream Queen, but they come in a variety of models, like classic rock.
I like to ride my bicycle!
Drag.
You better work!
Latifah. And of course, B.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever done.
And we are back from the scream of the Shulka.
That was more like the sound they actually made.
And the more, not to be compared to the sound that we made, which was...
Yeah, which was...
snork.
Honk shoe. Honk shoe.
The honk shoe of the Shima. That was not...
I preferred it over Dreamland.
Yes, much preferred to Dreamland.
But also...
It's just... Flash animation is so stiff that it...
Because in my head, I kept on trying to tell myself, it's just Archer. It's just Archer. It's just Doctor Who Archer. But it's not.
Yeah, it was really stiff. And the music in it especially was really underwhelming. Not to knock whoever did it. I'm sure that was not where the money went. It was very, like, there were some things in it I enjoyed. I don't want to sound like it was a total log, but it's really slowly paced. And the stiff animation does not help.
Here's the thing, is that it did have jokes.
Yeah.
There were some moments that were funny.
Mm-hmm.
But those moments were not enough to make up for the times where it just...
drags.
Yes.
Yeah. Some other positives. I really like the design for the Shulka Doctor. I think he's...
Like, I will say that much, or I will say this. Design-wise, everybody in it looked... like very cool and interesting.
Yeah. It was just the animation budget wasn't there to back that up. I really like the like sharp hair that he's got, like this inexplicably sharp sideburns that he's got.
Mm-hmm.
Richard E. Grant, fantastic actor. I think he was doing a really good job. I think he was doing a good job playing a character that is like two different characters.
Like this doctor, I went, this one's weird.
Yes, he's very weird. And I think part of it was that what he's trying to do is he's playing like the silly doctor that will crack jokes and be silly, but who's been burned by some piece of recent history for him that we haven't learned. So he's like very bitter and jaded, but he's also still like a kid. So he keeps going back and forth between this like very stern, like, I don't do sweet, so give me the strong stuff at the bar. And then he's like, I'm going to sing a song. La.
It feels like
a child that's just been grounded and is really grumpy about it.
Like this doctor, I went, this one's a Gemini.
A Gemini.
Well, because like it was something to be said of like somebody who is. Very much the like, oh yeah, like I'm supposed to be brooding. I'm supposed to be upset. Oh, but I want to to be a silly little goose. I want to be a little goofy goober. But I'm supposed to be mad.
Yeah, and then, but the real joy of this special for me is the master, this android master that the doctor has uploaded the master's brain into.
I want like a sitcom style show that has just the master and the doctor.
Mm-hmm. That was Derek Jacobi who played the master in this one, who also went on to play the master at the end of season 3 before regenerating into John Sim. The master is reborn. That guy.
Yeah.
And Derek Jacobi is a gay man. And so there's a part of me that wonders if he was deliberately playing it like the doctor and the master are like an old gay married couple.
I love it. Zach, they're not married. They're roommates.
Oh my God. They were TARDIS mates.
Yeah, they were roommates.
He just built a robot version of him that can't leave.
Yeah, Zach, they don't have rainbows, the spectrums.
Yeah, I think the Shulk is an interesting idea. This creature
This was the first time we've seen like an alien where I went, yeah, these ones I'm actually kind of scared of.
Yeah.
These ones feel like weirdly more rooted in reality, despite them coming from a animation, you know?
Yeah.
Like
they don't feel like a human in a getup.
And that it could simply be that, where it's these ones felt way more reptilian and lizard like, mm-hmm. to the point where I was like, that's so funny. The doctor is literally yelling at an iguana.
A big fiery iguana.
Like, that's so funny.
Yeah, they are they were made of lava, not diamonds. And it was sort of blink and you miss it. But yes, David Tennant does have a cameo as a caretaker that gets choked out.
I mean, yes, I did blink a lot because I was
40 winks. In fact, is what you got.
I kind of snoozed. I mean, I was awake taking notes the whole time.
I get it. It is very dry. It's very slow paced. And also, for without giving too much away, you and I've done more than one of these today.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a day for us, and this was quite slow paced. I like that he's got this repertoire with the military, where he clearly does not like the military, but the military likes him.
He even called it out.
Where he's like, I don't like the military, but I have a lot of friends in it, is what he says.
And I don't like killing people, yet I'll exterminate an entire species. It was something to that effect.
Yeah.
Like I said, this doctor's a Gemini.
And he's just got this vibe where they're like, oh, I haven't seen a TARDIS. I haven't seen a TARDIS since I was a much younger man. And they're all like really friendly and affable. And they're like trying to, you know, buddy up to him and get him to stick around. And he's like, I don't want to be here right now. I'm going to do not give me a gun. How dare you? How dare you think I would ever shoot a species? I would sing them to death.
I will sing so loud until they all explode.
Does this make Richard E. Grant the fat lady? Because it's all over when he sings.
I guess.
I do wonder how this would have played out if it had been done in live action. If I would have enjoyed it more if it was just less stiff.
No, because it did not need to be 6 parts.
Yeah, no, probably not. I probably could have done with 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because that first episode, they broke up into like even smaller parts for no real reason.
Yeah.
I do like the setup, like the when they first get there, you've got like this weird town that's kind of that because it's in the UK and it's like the small UK town. It's got this old vibe, even though it's supposed to be 2003. The town is weirdly empty. Everyone's talking about stuff that's going on that's making them uncomfortable and nobody really knows. And then the reveal is that they're scared of the ground.
Yeah.
And I think that's at least really like, oh, OK. I thought that first episode was really good. The follow ups were all very slow paced. But I thought that first episode where he's like sort of digging into what's going on here was really engaging. I thought that was a really good time.
And there were some other like this doctor did say some weirdly very insightful things.
Like what?
Like there is a moment where he's talking to the homeless woman, mm-hmm. and I wrote it down. Hold on.
He's like, she's asked for change. And so he starts pulling out the random. What has the doctor got in his pockets?
Yeah. And he goes, I'm a homeless person myself. That's the first thing I am. And I went, yeah, this doctor, like, I never even like I did not have that thought about the doctor until he says that.
He quite literally sleeps in his car.
Yeah. Like the doctor doesn't have a home. Like, he doesn't have a place he can.
He doesn't settle down anywhere.
Like, the less a car. This doctor lives in a van.
In his RV.
Yeah.
His tar-V.
Whoa. In his bus. But, you know, that was the only time that was the only line I got that I was like, oh, damn. But then you also have this doctor actively, like, being kind of smarmy and silly and also solving the problem by singing. You know, like, this, yes, we've been doing this podcast.
I'm going to connect you to the network. Here, I'm going to put a zit on your forehead. Come here.
Like, I know we've done this show for over 100 episodes now, but this is the first time I've gone, the doctor is just a very strange man. I don't like that it took Flash animation Richard E. Grant for me to see that.
Uh-huh.
But now I've seen it.
Well, I think there is something to, you know, the Flash animation. We haven't done a Big Finish yet. We might do it. We've had some requests to do some Big Finish audio drama, so we might do that at some point. But I do think that this is the closest we've gotten where it just sort of strips the doctor of everything. But
himself,
but the way he talks.
Yes.
And especially with the newer series where the doctor has been David Tennant and Matt Smith, two very attractive men who can kind of get away with being like cheeky little fucks by virtue of being very attractive men, that when you swap them out with like sharply angled Richard E. Grant, who isn't an unattractive man, but he's not a cute little boy.
He doesn't have a boyish charm about him.
That when he's doing the same stuff, you're like, oh, right, this guy's a freak.
Like Richard E. Grant, or if Matt Smith is Peter Pan, Richard E. Grant is Captain Hook.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
Where like Captain Hook is also just kind of a weird dude. And anytime you see Hook portrayed in film or in move or like in film or on stage, very seldom is Hook a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
This version of the Doctor did feel very Captain Hook, where it's like, I don't like this is like, not.
I was scared of you, but the longer I get to know you, the less I am.
Particularly when you have somebody like Richard E. Grant, who at least my experience and my exposure to him has been antagonists in the very same show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a very like cold steel quality to him.
Yeah.
That then seeing him broadcast himself singing to explode alien heads to explode. I'm sorry. Iguanas.
Giant lava iguanas.
Yeah.
The magma.
It's just silly.
Yeah, it's a very silly.
It's just silly, and then you have the queer robot master,
and then Allison Chaney is sort of the other companion of this story. I don't know if you recognized her.
I like that they animated her with braids. That was nice.
Well, that was the thing. I don't know if you recognize that actress, but she also had a role just a couple seasons ago in Doctor Who. She played Queen Elizabeth X.
Okay.
If you remember Liz 10, and they also, much like Richard E. Grant, just animated the character to look like the actor.
Yeah.
I assume because they at least thought there was a chance that the show would go live action again and they could just bring this cast in.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not the direction they went, but I do think it's interesting. And I do think that Allison being this like really strong willed character, like the way that she is described, the way the doctor describes her, is that he can tell that she's afraid, but she's less afraid than everyone else there.
I love that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good, that's a really like subtle character choice that I think she does very well. It's worth noting that Sophie Okonedo, I believe I pronounced that right. Sophie Okonedo. She shortly after this special went on to be in a movie called Hotel Rwanda.
Okay.
Where she got nominated for an Academy Award. And so she is the only Doctor Who companion to get nominated for an Academy Award.
Good for her.
And I feel like there's a part of it's like, yeah, I buy that, because she absolutely sells that like subtle edge.
Like,
of,
I'm afraid, but I'm confident.
Yeah, I'm still a human. I still have fear. I'm still this way. But I'm a little bit less than I'm a little bit less afraid than everyone else.
Like, to be afraid is to be human. Yeah. And so the fact that she is rising above that doesn't necessarily, I wouldn't say like makes her better. It just makes her like, if you were to surrender somebody to the alien race and say, this is the best of us, it'd mm-hmm. be the person who is still afraid, but is not hiding. It's not under a table.
Yeah, I liked her again. Really, it's hard to say, because like when I'm telling it back, there's a lot of stuff I liked in it, and all the stuff I didn't like was stuff that I just didn't hold on to.
The stuff that I didn't like truly, it's unusual for me to fully like be. I call it airplane sleep, mm-hmm. where I'm still very awake. I can still hear what's going on in case there is an emergency. If the plane starts going down, mm-hmm. Very rare does it actually happen like in my own home. But that being said, there was enough about this that I clearly found not distracting enough, mm-hmm. and not demanding of my attention long enough for me to go, here, let me pay attention.
Yeah. Now, the issue I think really is just it's the pacing. Like, it was just so slowly paced.
Yes.
And the stuff that would normally carry it would be like scenes of characters running or like big dramatic music stings.
I was going to say, I think part of it too is because of the way that it is animated, and because we're getting this story, we're seeing a lot of the same like images.
Yeah.
We're not getting B-roll. They don't have B-roll in flash animation.
Yeah. And like I said, characters can't really run in flash animation because it's so stiff. Like the closest we get isn't running. It's the Doctor getting sucked into a black hole and having to like figure out what he's going to do.
I forgot that the Doctor fully jumped into an alien's mouth.
Yeah.
Into an alien that did not sound like a TIE fighter.
I do like that little tie that he has with like Matt Smith, where he sees basically one of the villainous creatures and is like, oh, you are beautiful. He's like, I love your teeth. Who does your dental work? And then he climbs into the mouth. But then there's that one part where he's like, it's not a chase scene, but it's one of the scenes that stuck with me, because he's like falling into a black hole and he's having to think. And he's like, oh, wait, my cell phone is part of the TARDIS. If I use that, I can call the TARDIS to come get me.
And his little cell phone looks just like the TARDIS. Yeah. Which I really want a phone that looks like my house.
What I thought was really clever is it doesn't bring the whole TARDIS. It just brings the door.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, the TARDIS isn't the blue box. That's just what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So he's just got to step into that other dimension that is the TARDIS. Uh-huh. I do really like that as soon as that happens, he walks in and the Master's like surrounded by Shulka, and he's like, how dare you board this vessel of the Shulka Confederacy? And he's like, yes, yes, yes. I see everyone is here, and I see the Master is here, not holding on to anything. Oh, what's this button do? Whoops. That's a black hole that you're all sucked into. Oh, no. How did that happen?
Like, there were some really good little gems.
Yeah.
This needed to only be four parts.
Yeah. I think if they tightened this up, this story would have been.
If they tightened it up and they made it sillier, it would have been great.
Yeah. If they tightened it up and they kept all the silly parts and added some more.
If they leaned into the cartoon logic of it all, uh-huh. and really made. If they made the Doctor Bugs Bunny, played by Richard E. Grant, we'd have a show.
What is up, Doctor?
That's Zach. Toon is my doctor. Bugs Bunny as the Doctor and then Daffy as the Master? Are you kidding me?
Or it'd be Yosemite Sam as the Master. He's got the mustache.
Well, yeah, but no.
I am the Master and you will obey my commands.
That's not Yosemite Sam.
This is Elma Fudd, though.
Well, yeah. Because then I'm Massa also thinking Elma Fudd. The doctor could fully be the Martian, too.
Hello, I am the doctor. Yeah. Hello. Would you care to come to my TARDIS?
Because I also... Yep. Because in this alternate universe, the doctor is absolutely Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Daffy's the master. Lola's the companion.
I guess so, yeah. Or Porky's the companion. Professor, what are we doing?
I just remember the breakdown of the voices like, eh, but eh. Eh, but eh, duh. It's tough.
Yeah, it's like doing scatting in the dorkiest way possible.
Yep.
Yeah, Looney Tunes, Dr. Hooney Tunes is pretty good.
And to think I would have never had this thought have we not watched Scream of the Shulka.
Which makes it all worth it.
You know, I guess in a roundabout kind of way it does. No Daleks, no canine, so...
0 out of 10, really.
0 out of 10.
-2 out of 10. Loops back around getting some points because it gave us Dr. Hooney Tunes.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I know that we had discussed at one point, like, damn, that would be so great to see Richard E. Grant play the Doctor. And mm-hmm. we have it.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Because there is a part. I mean, I will say I am glad we got Eccleston. I feel like what Eccleston brought to the role really brought the show back in a way now. That.
Post-war Doctor, which I know we will be getting to
mm-hmm.
very shortly and seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I would after watching that, I am very excited to loop back around and revisit Eccleston because I think that he got a little bit of a short end of the stick.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, but you really appreciate what he brought to the role. The more distance you get from him, the bigger you realize what he built
yes.
for this show to come from. So, I am glad we got our ninth Doctor as Christopher Eccleston. But I also am glad that Richard Grant got the chance to do this. I think that was interesting to see. And I'm sure that if they really wanted to, they probably could have made a show with him as the lead because Richard Grant is a great actor.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we got the show that we have.
Yes.
And next week we got this little
treat. It reminded me of like a dinner that maybe you paid a little bit too much money for. And you were like, ugh, this so wasn't worth it. But then a couple days later, you're like,
I got a good experience out of it.
You know, like the lighting was nice and like, the food wasn't that bad. And then you remember, oh yeah, I paid $33 for a cup of coffee and a plate of crepes. I got an immediate tummy ache after. Maybe it wasn't as good, but I don't know.
Well, next week we're going to get some true little treats because next week we're going to do a couple of prequel shorts. No, I'm sorry. We're going to do a couple of prequel shorts for the 50th anniversary because they released something called The Night of the Doctor. And without spoiling too much for you, I think you're going to like it.
Canine?
No, not canine. But you'll find out.
A Dalek.
Technically, yes, there are Daleks in the shorts we're watching.
Oh, I'm excited now.
Well, we'll find out all about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my... Oh, wait, no, you're talking about Looney Tunes. Hold on. Give me a minute. Let me go through. Do I have any Looney Tunes impressions I can do? No, I don't. Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Oh, I guess I could have done that.
You want to take one?
Nah. Ibbity, ibbity, ibbity. That's all, folks. Nailed it.
She got me.
Hey there, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to our last anniversary special. We only have one more quick little stop before we finally get to watch The Day of the Doctor. Next week, we're looking at the Night of the Doctor, which means Cassie gets a double little surprise of not only hearing her name said a lot, but also, you know, who says it? If you would like to get that episode right now, you could find it over on our Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you get access to episodes a week early, some bonus mini-sodes, and a special chat where you can submit questions for the Cassie Profassi in future episodes. So head on down to patreon.com/whoismydoctor. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, and Daniel Lindgren. We'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whosdays.